Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Today we're going to talk about dropouts and high school graduation rates.
That's right. These two are related to each other.
They are related to each other.
I mean, we actually have three groups of students. Mm-hmm. Those who graduate, yeah, but can't do much with their diploma because, right, they're not well educated.
Right.
A second group who graduate and will go on to, mm-hmm, post-secondary education or training. Mm-hmm. And then a third group that drops out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we actually have three different groups here, and I'm glad we've lumped graduation and dropouts together because they're related to each other.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of links in the show notes, mm-hmm, to one of them is from the Huffington Post that kind of actually opens up a long list of different articles,
right,
about dropout and, mm-hmm, and what it has meant to people and strategies that people have used to sort of decrease the dropout rate.
And that's right. If you're at all interested in this whole concept of graduation and dropout, especially dropouts, mm-hmm, this Huffington Post, in fact, it has a couple of it has the whole spectrum. And some of them are students who have dropped out.
Right.
One who's sorry, Katy Perry, the, mm-hmm, entertainer, she, mm-hmm, was a high school dropout.
Mm-hmm.
She said it. She still regrets it,
mm-hmm,
not finishing her education. And then other students who dropped out and have no regrets.
Right.
And so the Huffington Post reading contains a whole range of articles on this topic.
Right.
So if you're interested, go to that one. We're going to talk mainly, though, about this article from
America's Promise.
Right, mm-hmm, America's Promise Alliance.
Yeah.
And we're going to spend most of our time,
right,
discussing that.
Yeah, and so when we think about the dropout rate, so, mm-hmm, in 2016, we had the highest percentage of high school graduates,
right,
ever.
Right.
Right. It was on an all-time high,
right,
of 84.1%.
Right.
So in 2016, 84.1% of high school, those who were eligible or those were who were of age to graduate. There are some details as it relates to what that means, who that includes. And that we'll go into in just a second, but it was 84.1%.
This is one of those numbers that you got to be real careful,
right,
about right, who you count and who you don't count and how it's tabulated.
Right.
And if you look at those numbers carefully, you could have a large range around,
right,
this 84%.
Right. Right. Yeah, because it's, you know, it's not just 18-year-olds.
That's right.
Because there are some 18-year-olds who have already graduated,
mm-hmm,
who graduated when they were 16 or 17, and there's 18-year-olds who are still in, you know, 11th grade who, mm-hmm, have never been retained or anything, but just haven't even
late
gotten there yet.
They just skipped the year.
So there's also this idea of they've worked to create ranges. And so it's, you know, within, you know, 4 to 6 years of entering high school, how many people have graduated?
That's right. If you look at the number of students in the entering freshman class versus the number who complete,
right,
that's going to produce one number.
Right.
Because frequently students will disappear and you don't know whether they've moved or they've dropped out.
Right.
I mean, they just disappear.
Right.
So how do you count them?
Right.
You know, if somebody has moved to another state,
right,
you don't count them as a dropout.
Right.
So we have to be careful with this, mm-hmm, number. But be that as it may,
right,
it looks like graduation rates are increasing.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So, but we're still left if we think about it as an encouraging number or a number that's this 84.1%, if we, mm-hmm, think about it being used as sort of the most hopeful, positive,
right,
number, we're still left with 16% who drop out.
At the very least, we're,
right,
looking at 16%. It's probably larger than that.
Right.
But at the very least, we're looking at 16% who completely disappear from,
right,
education.
Right. And they disappear for a variety of reasons,
right,
and we'll kind of get into a little bit of that. But we're left with that. So 16% drop out.
Right.
We're also left then with this idea of people who graduate, who
we don't know what they do
next.
Because as we've talked about before, and these numbers are equally fudgeable. You can kind of adjust and adapt them as you see fit. Mm-hmm. But about 60% of people who graduate high school go to college.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, as we...
60% of the 84%.
Right.
Right. Okay.
So 60% of people who graduate high school go to college. All right. So that takes out the 16% that don't graduate.
Right.
And then we're left with, of that 84% that's there, only 60% graduate.
That's 48%, Grant. So about 50% mm-hmm. go on to college.
Right.
Which means 50%
right.
either drop out or don't go on.
Right. And I think that this leads to the number one concern we have about graduation rates and dropouts and things like that. And that is, as we talked about on the Monday podcast, the purpose of high school is to prepare people for college.
We That's right.
You know, when Horace Mann and some of those other mm-hmm. Guys way back when come up with the idea of schooling the way that in much mm-hmm. the same way that we practice schooling now, the purpose of high school was to prepare those who were going to college to prepare them for that, to prepare
That's right.
them for that transition.
Because before we had compulsory education in 1918, mm-hmm. the American high school was designed to prepare students for college. Mm-hmm. So even though now we said everybody has to go to high school,
right.
we kept the college prep curriculum.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So that means that we are holding mm-hmm. about half the students, we're holding all students to this expectation of achieving at a level that prepares you for college,
right.
in classes, and at a level that prepares you for college,
right.
even though we know that maybe half
aren't
go to college, and the other half don't. What are we doing with those
guys? We're not really. Oh, okay.
And that's the concern that I think accounts for or helps us understand this ongoing issue with dropout is that we have a large group of people who are being held to college preparatory expectations that have no interest, no desire, and maybe not even the ability to go to college.
Right.
But whether it's a financial ability, a cognitive ability, an educational ability, or just a willingness,
they just
an
don't
interest.
Want to go.
Right.
I mean, for whatever reason, they're just not interested in
right.
going back to school.
Right. So we're holding them to that expectation, but mm-hmm. that is not their goal.
Right.
And so I don't know that it would be surprising that they might drop out.
And that's just, that doesn't even explore the issues of poverty,
right.
of race, of mm-hmm. disadvantage, of special mm-hmm. chronic illness,
right.
special needs.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to talk about those things.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. But that is a whole other explanation or way to think about the dropout rate that we have. And that is, you know, there's a significant... What we never want to really talk about are the impacts of poverty.
That's right.
When you think, no matter what you think about, whether it's health, mortality, morbidity, mortality, the health, physical health related issues, mm-hmm. mental health related issues, educational issues, whatever you want to talk about, we can play with numbers and talk about
right.
different prevalences of those things by race, by heritage, by all these different mm-hmm. things. That's all well and good.
Right.
But the one factor that influences all of those things mm-hmm. and very almost cleanly differentiates people mm-hmm. is poverty.
You know, every once in a while when you accuse me of getting on my soapbox.
Yeah.
This is one of those issues that get me on my soapbox.
Mm-hmm.
Because the evidence is so crystal, absolutely crystal clear.
Right.
Of the multiple disadvantages
mm-hmm.
of people in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing left to talk about when
right.
it comes to poverty. It
right.
is a huge disadvantage
right.
in every area, as you say,
mm-hmm.
morbidity, mortality, physical health, mental health, physical illness, mortality rates.
Right.
I mean, it affects every part of a person's life,
right,
from birth to death.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I think I've shared this before, but when I was first starting graduate, when I was an undergraduate for portions, and when I was first in graduate school, my wife and I, and we had my stepdaughter. So this was when I was an undergraduate. We lived in very poor circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we lived in somewhat of a...
Oh, that's right. You were in school.
Shed in the back of my wife's, my in-laws, my wife's family's property. And it was very difficult times. Mm-hmm. We knew where we were going because, you know, I was working towards going to graduate school and things like that, but we just had very little mm-hmm. funding because we didn't have a lot of support from, especially financial support from either of our families. And so we lived in those conditions. And I think that because of that experience, this is a soapbox for me as well, because it's when I think about people who are in that set of circumstances,
mm-hmm.
and I think of all the limitations that we had, that we were eventually able to work through because...
How long were you in this?
Years. We were in there for... 3 or 4 or so years.
And you knew you were climbing out.
Right.
So the different effect would be there's no way out.
Right.
And yeah. what effect that would have on you.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's what I can help think. You know, when we, you know, you get up on Saturday morning and you have to do the plumbing work yourself, or you have to, you know, you're putting up a new wall mm-hmm. because you need to do this or that. And it was very challenging times. And
right.
I think that, you know, when I consider people who are living in those circumstances and this is it.
And there's no way out. There is no way.
They don't perceive any way out.
Right. Your family doesn't have money. You're not in school. You're not going to advance. You're not going to get a promotion. You're not going to change. You're not going to change your circumstances. And this is what your life is going mm-hmm. to be like until you die.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to imagine
I agree.
The motivation that a person has to mm-hmm. learn algebra.
When under those circumstances. Why bother?
Circumstances.
I mean,
why?
Because you're not going anywhere.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to college.
Right.
There's no way you're going to move out of this situation.
Right. And if you're living in that type of situation, and again, based upon what we talked mm-hmm. about in yesterday's podcast, you're probably living in the statistics are, you're probably living in a community where other people are living in that type of
all of
condition,
your neighbors are doing the same thing.
Which means that your school probably has less funding because mm-hmm. it's based upon the property taxes. And
that's
so
right.
You see, it's just...
It compounds.
Mm-hmm. Builds on itself like
right.
that.
Right, and poverty has such a grinding, demoralizing, mm-hmm. defeating effect. And you say, well, you should pull yourself up by your boot.
Yeah, we lived there. I was in school full time. My wife was working full time,
mm-hmm.
and I was working full time.
Right.
Well, I was working full time to three quarters time type of thing. I was working as many hours as I could
right.
while still trying to go to school.
Right.
And that's where we still had to live.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean. When you don't, was working on an education, but didn't have an education.
That's
and
right.
So you're working at, you know, the movie theater, or you're working at Walmart,
you're working
or some
minimum wage jobs,
right.
Grinding it out at a minimum wage job. You always get the worst schedule, the mm-hmm. worst hours, the worst everything.
Right.
Yeah. But you knew it was temporary.
Right.
You know, and you knew that you were going that things were going to get better.
Right.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so the concept of the unknown or the not even the unknown, it's not even unknown, they know
right
this is it,
right,
this is where we're going to be. So again, kind of bringing this back to graduation rates, I think that, you know, when we're looking at graduation rates and we're looking at the expectations that we hold students to in schools,
mm-hmm.
We're not doing a very good job of appreciating the life circumstances that many of these people
right.
Are experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that, And then we look at the graduation rates and we say, wow, why are they, right. you know, in the United States, only 84% of people right. are graduating. You would think that everybody would be graduating high right. school.
You often hear, we often hear patients who come in and they'll say, well, I just assumed, because the family we grew up in, you just assumed that you were going to go to college. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was never any question that my education was going to stop after the 12th grade.
Right.
We never, that conversation never occurred in my family.
Right.
We all knew that once we finished high school, mm-hmm. that you'd go on to the 13th year. You're going to go to
yeah.
college. I mean,
right.
we weren't forced to. It was just an assumption.
Mm-hmm.
That and I was surprised to learn later in life that, well, there are people who actually made a choice of whether to go on or
mm-hmm.
not. Because, as I say, I wasn't forced to go. It was just, this is what you do after
right.
high school. You go to college.
Right.
Because I grew up in that kind of a family.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't grow up in that kind of a neighborhood, but I
right.
grew up in that kind of a family. Imagine all those children who grow
yeah.
up in family. You're not even expected to finish high school.
Right.
Let alone go on to college. So
right.
the expectation is you're going to drop out anyway, or you're going to graduate and get a job.
Exactly, because a lot of these students grow
mm-hmm.
up in homes where at the time that you become working age,
right.
you need to be working to help contribute to the family.
That's right.
And to the household.
You should be out working.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you said earlier in the week, if you don't plan to go on,
mm-hmm.
why are you struggling through an algebra class?
Right.
Why are you sitting through Shakespeare? Why are you sitting through
right.
world history? It doesn't matter to you because you're
mm-hmm.
not, you're, this high school, this college preparatory curriculum
mm-hmm.
isn't going to do you any good.
Right.
Why should you struggle? That's why these kids don't want
mm-hmm.
to do their homework.
Right. And so I think that as we sort of extrapolate out from this, we
right.
get to, okay, so some of those students are dropping out because of that.
Right.
Other students are dropping out because of those issues, but that those issues compounded by behavioral issues and
right.
emotional issues and things like that. And those students end up getting expelled or kicked
it's
out of school.
20% of students.
Right.
right.
And so that's another portion
another
of the
group.
Population that
mm-hmm.
are out of school because of
right.
they can't meet the behavioral expectations of
right.
of school.
Right.
And again, you know, if you're not meeting the behavioral expectations of school, you don't really
mm-hmm.
want to be there.
That's right.
And if you don't want to be there,
getting punished.
As soon as you get old enough to where you can
mm-hmm.
drop out, you're going to leave.
Right.
You're going to stop going.
And so what this means is I think that our country, by and large,
mm-hmm.
does a very good job of educating students who do want to go to college.
Right.
I think the curriculum and the teachers and are accomplishing that task. And
mm-hmm.
I think we see that in science and math, college,
mm-hmm.
the way American colleges and universities, we are still doing a very good job
right.
of educating that group of students.
Right.
I think where we have fallen down is in the 50% who don't plan to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And we really haven't built an educational system for them.
Right.
And that's the problem with the American, I mean, that's one of the huge problems with the American educational system is that we haven't built a system for all those students.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had this conversation with someone the other day after Parkland, and we
mm-hmm.
were talking about how that student was expelled and,
yes.
you know, the problem with expulsion
mm-hmm.
and, you know, again, this 50% or so
right.
of students who aren't going to go to college, what do we do with them? And
mm-hmm.
and we talked about trade schools.
Right.
Well, trade schools are great.
Mm-hmm.
But two things with trade schools. The first is the expectation is college.
Even if you go to a trade school.
No, the expectation for high school is
right.
college.
It's college.
And so
right.
to leave your regular high school to go to a trade school, you know, for whatever reason, it's not looked on as favorably
right.
as it should be.
Right.
Okay? Because that's a real appropriate option for
mm-hmm.
many, many students.
Right.
The second problem with it is that by the time you become eligible to go to
right.
a trade school, you've already reached the point where you're like, I'm done with this.
Right.
Because
mm-hmm.
you can't go to a trade school until you're 16 or 17 years old.
You can't do it when you're in ninth grade.
Right.
You're not going to go to a trade school.
Exactly.
Right out of middle school. You
right.
don't go to a trade school. And you have to be a pretty good student to get into a trade school.
Oftentimes,
I remember
yeah.
in the city where I taught years ago in Pennsylvania, you had to have a B average
mm-hmm.
to get. And I thought, wait a minute. There's an irony there because
mm-hmm.
the kids who need it the most are the least qualified
Right.
The kids who don't need to go to a trade school are the only ones who qualify,
right,
because they have the grades to do it.
Right.
A bitter irony.
Yeah. So I think that the trade school option is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just we have to make it more available.
Right.
And we have to we have to treat it as a society as a viable, appropriate, good option for many of these students.
It's a worthwhile option.
Yeah.
It's not. We talk to parents, and parents talk about trade school as though it's an admission of failure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be an admission of failure. It should be a viable alternative.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So we have, I think that the some of the dilemmas associated mm-hmm. with this, you know, there's not a lot of solutions that you can jump onto right away,
right,
for some of the funding issues that we talked about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But there are absolutely strategies and things that can be done to deal with the graduation and dropout rates.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You can start it tomorrow.
We can start that tomorrow without changing funding or anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It just requires a couple of adjustments,
right,
to expectations, mm-hmm, and to...
And just
little system space things.
And start with the reality that mm-hmm. half of the students in your building are not going to go to college. So don't make them go through a curriculum that prepares them for something they're not going to do.
Right.
That's an easy switch.
Right.
You could do that in one summer. You could make those adjustments.
You make that adjustment and you open up trade schools to students who are younger.
Really need it.
So students who are 13, 14 years old,
right,
open that up as an option.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden you've opened the doors for a lot of these students to find hope
mm-hmm.
in places where they couldn't find hope before.
Right.
Again, we were talking about poverty a minute ago. Okay, so they drop out. Well,
right,
if they couldn't get to the trade school, they can't, mm-hmm. you know, they drop out before they're old enough to be mm-hmm. able to go to the trade school.
Right.
So now they're not trained.
That's right.
You open it up when they're given the opportunity when they're 13 or 14 years old, when they're still required to go to school.
And they're making the decision. They're in the decision-making
right.
process. So now all of a sudden, you're giving them another opportunity.
Right.
They have a whole new set of opportunities
right.
to move in this direction rather than this direction.
Right.
But at least they
exactly.
stay in the system and they get training.
Right.
And they're employable when they leave.
Right. You say, come here and you can learn
mm-hmm.
you know, these trades
right.
that are going to make you employable.
You can acquire these skills
right.
so that you're employable when you leave the building.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So this one to me is one that we can...
Do it. Let's start. Right.
Dr. Marshall for governor.
You don't want that. No, no.
No?
No, 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 no. No, that would be the wrong thing to do.
Dr. Marshall for educational czar.
No, leave Dr.
I want to make you an educational czar.
Leave me.
Like
leave
the
Dr.
Czar.
Marshall out of this. He doesn't even have a Twitter account, and he can't respond to emails. So no, you don't. No, you don't want me.
That's
in that
true.
Position.
But if you were governor or education czar, then you'd be able to.
I would.
I don't know that education czar is a real position. I just think it sounds cool.
I think philosopher king is better. Than, you know, I'll do that. I'll be philosopher king. You don't want me to do anything practical like governor. Education secretary. Wow.
That's probably true.
That'd be a huge mistake.
I would vote for
I could
you,
be an advisor.
Yeah? What are you going to... Okay. All right. That's it for today.
Okay, I'll accept the governorship.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to make little signs.
There we
placards.
Go. Put them on my car.
Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. And vote Marshall.
Thank you for that endorsement.
Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.